Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Welcome, friends. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. You know, here in season 8, we're talking about resilience. And in all the episodes that I'm going to do about resilience this year, I think today's episode is the one I would definitely want you to stick around for. So I hope you'll listen to this episode in its entirety. But before we get to that, let's start our time together with a slowdown, centering activity. I don't know what you've been up to in your day, but so that we can focus, so that we can be present in this moment, let's take a few deep breaths. Inhale through your nose and breathe deep, deep down into your belly. Hold it and then exhale. Inhale and exhale. And notice how that feels to just let it all go. One more time, inhale. And exhale. You may need a few more, so if you do, feel free to keep on doing some deep breathing as long as you need to. So, you know, recently I was talking to a friend about the concept of resilience, and I realized that sometimes I think I get that concept confused with endurance and perseverance. And you know what? This friend did too. And I'm wondering how many of us get those concepts confused. They have some things in common, don't they? So before we go any farther in this series, let's just define the differences between perseverance, endurance, and resilience. Perseverance is the continued effort to achieve a goal despite difficulties, like repeatedly climbing a mountain despite obstacles. While resilience focuses on bouncing back from adversity, perseverance focuses on maintaining effort and sticking to a path even when it's hard. Endurance is the ability to persist through a difficult situation for a long time, while resilience is the capacity to recover quickly after a setback. Endurance is about pushing through. Resilience is about bouncing back and adapting and regaining strength. So, you know, all three, I think, are valuable coping strategies for adversity, but they focus on different aspects. Endurance and perseverance are about surviving in the long haul, and resilience is about thriving after challenges. All three are really important. There's so much about perseverance, endurance, and resilience that's incredibly important to build and grow as a skill set in life. In order to thrive after challenges, we must have the endurance and perseverance to walk the difficult path or climb the challenges that come. But what I'd like to talk about today is the reservoir that feeds all three. Because the truth is, we can only survive difficulty so long before we have to start tapping into our reserves. In his book, Resilient, John Eldridge explains this concept of having reserves. He talks about how we can all survive challenges for a while using our natural resources, our community, our skill set, etc. But if the challenge goes on long enough, if the difficulty doesn't go away, then we have to start tapping into our reserves, borrowing fuel, if you will, to keep going. In his book, he talks about the pandemic as an example. During the pandemic, he would check in with his staff about the resilience level. He would ask them, "If you're normally functioning at 100%, what are you functioning at now?" Most of the time, it was around 30%, 30% of their normal strength. Then he would ask them about their reserves. If another crisis were to hit tomorrow, what sort of reserves do you have available? On average, their answer was about 15%. And these were pretty resourced people, but they were exhausted. This is what trauma does to us. It drains us. It uses all the energy we have to survive it, and it leaves little left over. We have to find energy to rally, to press on. John Eldridge writes, "Every time you rally, you tap into your reserves. And although you might feel like you're doing well on any given day, you're still burning through precious resources, and your reserve tank is precariously low. This is the trauma cycle. We rally in the face of harm, and when the harm subsides, we live in denial of it and go off in search of some taste of Eden. When our efforts are thwarted, things like rage and despair surface, which are common as trauma responses. This is why rallying can actually be deceptive. Reserves tell the true story." There is a lot of wisdom here, friends. Whether or not you think you've lived through trauma, living right now, through a pandemic, a volatile world, social media and TV bringing rage and terrible news to our minds every day, and living with less community in general now than people in previous generations have, tells me that most of us have pretty low reserves. Eldridge says, "When the harm subsides, we live in denial of it and go off to find a taste of the good life again. The good life often looks like Netflix, a new hobby, a vacation. You know, during the pandemic, a lot of people started doing sourdough and gardens and things like that. They were trying to find a taste of Eden. When difficulty represents itself and gets in the way of our good life, then rage and despair surface. Have you felt that? I have, many times. Rallying uses energy. Finding the strength to look for good again in the midst of hardship takes energy. When even that gets thwarted, that's when we see how much reserve we actually have. And that's where I'm going to propose that our natural reserves in and of ourselves are actually pretty amazing. People survive and thrive even in the most dire circumstances. Yet I believe that the only true way to get our reserve tank refilled is to be attached to the life source. To have our reserve tank hooked up to the reservoir that's fed by the river of life. To have our branch attached to the vine. I believe this is the only ongoing source of resilience, endurance, and perseverance. So let's dive in and talk about the living water that's filling our reservoir, shall we? In John 4, we hear a story about Jesus introducing this subject. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So from this passage, we learn that living water has specific characteristics. It's given to us by Jesus. It becomes a spring of water in the person he gives it to. And springs are ever flowing. They are the source where the water comes out clean and pure. They don't get stagnant or dry up. And this spring will well up to eternal life. The end result of having this spring of living water is living forever. The Bible also talks about a different kind of water, but I think similarly. It talks about a river of life. Ezekiel sees it and describes in Ezekiel 47 that he sees it coming out from under the threshold of the temple. He saw it flow into the Dead Sea and turn the salt water to fresh water. Where the water flowed, everything lived. It brought life back to what was dead. And in Revelation 22, we hear about this river of life again. And it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Notice that in all of those passages, where the water flows is life. Living water welling up to eternal life. As believers, this is what's filling up our reserve tank. Living water, the Spirit of God, breathing life into the exhaustion, the disillusionment, the discouragement, the failure, the fear, the unknown, maybe even the desire to press on. I'm going to guess if you're like me, sometimes this concept can be a little ephemeral, cerebral, makes sense in the head, but kind of hard to practice in the real life, in the nitty-gritty. Like a textbook I've practiced to recite on test day, not a reality that I always remember I have access to. Can you relate? So how does one access the great power that resides inside? Hold on to that. We're going to come back to it. But before we explore it further, I want to look at another passage that Jesus shared with his followers in John 15 that also relates to this reserve tank. He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." I read out of the NIV, and it uses the word remain. You heard the word remain a lot of times. But another word that you'll often see here in other translations is abide. I love that word, abide. Abide means to dwell or live. So he's saying, dwell with me, and I with you. Live in me, and I in you. Dwell in my love. This is how we have access to the power, to the reserve. We dwell, remain, live, attach ourselves to Jesus. And the secret here is that he does the work. Branches don't keep the tree alive. The trunk, the vine, does it. It feeds the branch. It stabilizes the branch too, so let's remember that. And all the branch has to do is just hold on and soak in the nutrients. Friend, if you're in an enduring, persevering season, it feels like there's a lot riding on you. And believe me, I know that if you're in the trenches, making hard decisions, doing difficult life work, shouldering responsibilities that feel like burdens, pushing through every day, getting your body up and doing the things that are required, even when you're exhausted. In these moments, when you're the one with the physical body doing the things, it can feel like you're alone. But you're not. So don't live like it all depends on you. Sometimes we need the reminder that apart from him, we can do nothing. Earlier, I mentioned that although this concept makes sense in my head and I can get glimpses of it from time to time, it does feel awfully hard sometimes to put into practice. And I think this concept is starting to make the most sense to me in the last couple of years since I've learned a new trauma counseling technique. As a younger counselor, I was trained on how to help people, the right techniques to use, how to attend to and respond to my clients. But the main point is that I came away, as most counselors do, thinking that I was going to be the force of change in my clients' lives. I was going to have the right answers, the most helpful insights, presenting these great techniques that would lead people to change. Ha! What a joke. When I learned a focused mindfulness technique for treating trauma a couple years ago, I was taught a different way, and it has changed the way I think about counseling. I was taught to stay in the tail of the comet. In other words, my client is the comet, and they're already inspired towards their own healing. You know, God has given us great capacity to heal, and our own bodies and nervous systems know how to do this if they're given a safe place to do so. My job is to be attuned, a safe presence that allows that healing to take place. If I can stay in the tail of where their comet is headed, rather than trying to lead them with my own rocket ship, we're more likely to get there. And I kind of think of abiding with Christ in that same way. When I'm living like it all depends on me, I feel the pressure of that in my body and mind. It's too much. But when I realize I'm dependent, that I'm riding in the tail of the comet of Christ, attached to his vine, being fed by his living water, then I can let go just a little, knowing that he's taking care of me, he's leading me, even in what can feel like a wilderness, even on a narrow or steep path, even up a mountain that I can't yet see the top of, that I'm having to use endurance and perseverance to get through, even there. And so that's my encouragement to myself and to you today, friends. The world requires more than we have to give sometimes. It can use all of our reserves, all of our rallying strength. Our reserves will get low, and it's harder to rally some days. But if you're a believer, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, we have access to a deep well, a living river of water, a stabilizing vine that gives us what we need for each day as it comes. You can ride the tail of his comet. You can remain. You can abide. In future episodes, we will talk about building blocks of resilience, and those are really important. But before we ever get to that, I think this is the foundation I would want you to carry away the most, that resilience is bigger than us, I think. That endurance and perseverance really is too. If we want the big reservoir, this is where it starts. And with that, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.